Nurse Casey Hickox went for a bike ride today in Maine. State police followed, and a lot of reporters were there to greet her at the end of the ride.
Pretty bold of you to go out on a bike ride while the state police are here.
Casey,
why?
There's no legal action against me, so I'm free to go on a bike ride in my hometown.
Hickox is the nurse who is supposed to be under quarantine because of her work in Sierra Leone with Ebola patients. She says she's fine and has tested negative for Ebola. The state could try to force Hickox to remain housebound until her 21-day incubation period ends November 10th. But to the scientists who are monitoring the outbreak of Ebola around the world, it's not a potential case in the U.S. that is so scary. It's the idea of a case in the developing world, India, China, or other countries in Africa, Asia, and the Middle East. Experts at the Laboratory for the Modeling of Biological and Socio-Technical Systems at Northeastern University have developed a computer model designed to predict the path of Ebola based on everything from demographics to travel patterns. Alessandro Vespignani is leading the research. He's a computer and health science professor at Northeastern. He joins us in the studio. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Well, how do you know where Ebola is headed next?
Well, what we do is to build very large-scale computational models for the evolution of the epidemic. So this is a little bit like doing weather forecast. You have, you know, a big computational model where you try to integrate all the data of the epidemic. Obviously, instead of weather data, we use data on population, the number of cases, the epidemic parameters. And, you know, the models will project what happens in the next month, 2 months.
So what are your models telling you?
Well, for the moment, you know, the big issue is the fight that we are, you know, having in West Africa. So this is where we still see a lot of cases, although we got some positive, some positive news from the WHO that there is a little bit of slowing down of cases in Liberia, that was the hardest hit country. But, you know, this is where we have basically now the majority of cases. And we have, you know, probability of importation in other country. So there is a potential for international spread, as we have seen in the United States. There are other countries in Europe and obviously in Africa that are the most worrisome because is where the, those little sparks could trigger another fire.
And you found that in Asia, China is most at risk of having an Ebola outbreak.
Well, this is the place where there is the big question mark. You know, at the moment, they don't have a large probability of importing cases from that from West Africa region. But of course, if we are not able to put under control the outbreak, this probability is going to increase. And especially if we have spillover in other African countries with tighter relations to Asia, we could find cases in Asia. And then what happens if we have, a few sparks in India or China, we'll be those healthcare systems able to cope with those cases.
And these are very crowded countries in some places.
More than one-third of the world population is
right
there. And, you know, I'm sure that, you know, some of the places like the big cities have very good healthcare that should be able to cope with an eventual importation of an Ebola case. But, you know, other rural areas and especially, you know, you have those are countries affected by other diseases, that can be, not natural to have immediately an Ebola diagnosis there. So, you know, there are a lot of question marks.
You mean that they wouldn't figure it out right away that it was Ebola?
Yeah, you know, that's one of the risks, you know. And, obviously there is the history of the patient and as it traveled to one of the countries affected at the moment by Ebola. But you never know what could be the response. And we have seen that it's possible to make mistakes. So, you know, all countries, you know, the more we have those little sparks going around the world, and the more is the risk that we have other fires. And that's what we should be worried at the moment, really, to put down the fire in West Africa so that this is the insurance policy for the world.
The other thing that comes to mind is if there is an Ebola case in China, would we know about it? That government has not been transparent on a number of things.
Well, you know, that we had experience like the SARS epidemic in 2002. The communication were not so good. Recent experiences have been much better. For instance, with H7N9, the new avian influenza in the past year. So, you know, probably China would communicate. And obviously, you know, now there is a lot of awareness in all countries about Ebola. And so that's probably will help. But of course, if we have multiple ignition, multiple sparks, you know, any kind of system would be having trouble in coping with those.
Why do you think that the U.S. got a case of Ebola before China or India?
Well, you just look at the traffic flow of people from that area to other countries. And United States is one of the countries that has a reasonable amount of traffic.
Well, so does Europe, though, right?
And does Europe. So indeed, actually, the other countries which are at risk are UK, not all Europe. So United Kingdom, France, Belgium. And, you know, India and China do not have too many relations with that area of Africa, but they have with other countries in Africa, and that's one of the, you know, you can imagine this kind of chain reaction in which, you know, there is a spillover in other countries in Africa, and then from there in Asia or other places in Europe or US, South Latin America.
As you look at your data and you look at where Ebola might go next, what do you think of these people who are saying, let's cut off flights to the affected countries?
Well, you know, one good thing to tell people is that even right now, at this very moment, you know, the traffic to and from the region is probably just 20% of what it was before Ebola. Mm. People do not travel there, and all the travel have been reduced. We can do better. We can probably push to 90, 95%. But this is just slowing down of a few weeks of what would be the case importation. So this is not something that we can use to, how to say, to be safe. We cannot seal off the world. That's the point. And the only way really we, on the long run, we can be safe from Ebola is to win the outbreak in West Africa.
What is the most frightening thing that you have found? What's a worst-case scenario? Which country would you be most worried about getting Ebola because they just don't have the capacity to handle it?
Well, you know, for instance, we have one case in Mali at the moment. It's one country nearby the affected region, and, you know, it's not given that they will be able to control the outbreak. So I hope that. But, you know, that could be another fire, and that fire could move to another place and so on and so forth. So it's not just a specific country. It's the idea that you get sparks that could start those fires, and each fire is a problem by itself that requires international intervention and a lot of capacity on the ground. So, you know, the worst-case scenario is that we are not able to control the outbreak, and this acquires what we call pandemic potential. So really, the possibility of traveling, you know, internationally in many, many different places, in many continents, and then it would be a totally different story.
And it sounds like what you're saying is that it's a much bigger problem if it's in a place like Mali or in a place that's rural than if it were to show up in a very densely populated city that also has very high-end medical abilities.
You know, if it shows what we always say, you know, I'm more worried about one case in Mali or one case in Ghana than one case in London or one case in New York, because, you know, our healthcare system should be able to cope with it. You know, obviously you can see transmission locally. You can have one or two cases in the household healthcare workers, but obviously we are able to contain an outbreak. In those countries, you don't know what is going to happen.
Alessandro Vespignani, a computer and health sciences professor at Northeastern University who's been doing research on where Ebola may go next. Alessandro, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.